Ain't did that in the wild camp. Ain't did that in the wild camp.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since that. Oh, man. Good day to you all, man. It is the first full week of July, you know what I'm saying? And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, 4 years ago, the spring of 2017, I had two visions and two ideas. And both ideas started off shaky, but yet one remains to this day. And right now you're listening to exactly what that is. It is the first Black Champ podcast. I'm Cam from the Port.
And I am JR Bang doing the one thing that I've been consistent at as far as content for 4 years.
There it is.
It's basically been marriage, kids, and this.
Hey. I did some of those things too.
But on this, we literally had two kids. So
yeah, oh no, you absolutely, yeah. You definitely have off to the races, and
yeah,
hey, I might catch you, I might not. Who knows?
You ain't catching me, Jack. I don't know, fam. Well, I don't know. Cause you did say, let's get off of that, fam. Let's get off of that. Them little motherfuckers stressing me out right now, too. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at fbc.pod. Go ahead and get that merch. Click the link in the bio. Follow us on Facebook at First Black Champ. Make sure you join the group First Black Champ. Bad. Look, man, it has been 4 years. We've been doing this joint for 4 years. It is again, and I'm not joking, this is the most consistent piece of content that I've done in my life. It's literally been marriage, kids, First Black Champ.
Right.
You know, so if you listen to us in the beginning when we were just doing this, you know, on telephone and headphones,
sure.
You know, you got, you know, with me having Trey, when Trey was not even walking. No, he was walking about that time. Mm-hmm. He wasn't walking good. He was walking, you know. And then, you know, Landon, and now we got Liam. So I've had two kids while doing this pod. I have moved cities, campus moved from city to city, and we've continued to do this pod. We love wrestling. We eat, we sleep, we breathe wrestling. And this is just dope that we've been doing this consistently for 4 years. I can speak for Cam, and Cam can speak for me when we are both say it's really hard for us to be consistent at certain things.
Yeah.
You know, mainly because sometimes our head gets in the way. Other things is just, you know, finding time to get shit done. Mm-hmm. But as you just really heard, life has really taken me a lot of places. I've been very busy, and I have a wife who's very understanding about the content that I try to get out. And she's like, no, you got to do that. So you do this. And then I just don't have the kids that really understand not to bother me when I'm doing the pod, but they get it when it gets to like year 10 of First Black Chat podcast. So we're like, but at the end of the day, man, we do want to thank every listener who has tuned in to First Black Champ, every guest. Shouts out to people like, you know, Hood for jumping on, Boogie D for jumping on. Shouts out to cats like
A+ was on the show.
A+ was on the show. Shouts out to cats like B-Dot. Oh, shouts out to Kier, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shouts out to cats like B-Dot, Kier, Travelle. Shouts out to all of the Hardy. Shouts out to all of the listeners of First Black Champ who's really supported us to the years. A lot of people have commented, rated, liked, subscribed, retweeted. Shouts out to Barbershed Digital, Scott, in the game over there, Pierce, up in the game, in the gang over there as well for supporting us and all of that too.
As well as DJ Epidemic and Logic Studio, Logic Radio.
Yeah.
That's literally where we shot, recorded the pilot episode.
Yeah.
Named Ron Simmons, and that's where we were doing the phone hookup and everything when we were trying to get the audio just right for about the first two, 3 years.
And you know what's crazy, man, with the advancement of equipment and everything, like now they got shit just for that.
Yeah, I know. Like Literally, the Anchor app was developed 2 years after we started doing this shit. And you can record podcasts on your fucking phone now.
And not even that, like Rodecasters and all of that shit.
Yeah.
Like why y'all, like, it was probably out there and it was just too expensive for us.
Yeah. Hey, but you know what? I mean, props to us for once again just being ahead of the curve. Like, I mean, even though, like, you know, right now we're still at a position where we won't get a lot of credit, but we did a lot of shit first.
Yeah.
Like, collectively and individually.
Yeah.
Like, even the shit with some dude pie, like, y'all just now getting up to speed on what the fuck is going on over there.
Yeah.
And, man, we, like, you know, listen, man, if Urban Podcast Radio or if Pop Culture Radio, Forefathers would be like, because everybody's doing their Mount Rushmore thing, right? It would be Combat Jack, Joe Rogan, and us. Yeah. No bullshit. No bullshit.
But now we're an episode of Unsung.
Yeah.
Except we didn't do drugs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did, just not hard.
Not hard drugs. Yeah, hard drugs.
Yeah.
We didn't do hard drugs. You didn't sniff no cocaine, did you?
No, absolutely. No, my allergies are way too bad for that shit. I'm never doing coke. Oddly enough, I was just having this conversation. I was like, I could never do coke. My allergies are way too bad for that.
And I couldn't, like, heroin. I'm scared of needles. Now.
Yeah, man.
Grown as hell, I'm scared of needles. I can never do that. See, this is the only wrestling pod you know that will drift off into a cocaine and heroin conversation.
Word, and you need that for your life, man.
And it's still relatable, man. So, first black champ. The one thing that we do is more than just the name. We support our own. We support black wrestling. We support the black culture. We don't sugarcoat shit. We don't bullshit. Word. We're not going to fake. We're not doing anything, try to get a job or anything like that. We're not playing promo games. You know, we're not getting our first take on telling people, you know, you have to take this stance and in that sense. And since we do get pussy on a regular basis, we don't act like virgins when somebody gets cut or gets fired in their future endeavors, especially in a time right now where you can get a job. There's other places where you can go to get a job. So without further ado, I want to kick this off of Brown, something that happened yesterday that I thought that was very important. It was the first thing that I have ever seen, first time I've ever seen this in my lifetime. If I missed it, then please tell me the episode and I will watch it.
Okay.
But for the first time in my history of watching wrestling on a episodic television show, I saw two black men wrestle two black men in a tag team match in the main event of Raw. Last night, the Hurt Business versus New Day on Monday Night Raw. And by last night, I mean Monday, of course, July 5th. Okay. And it was the July 4th weekend. So it wasn't no, and rest in peace to the Patriot, because he died right before 4th of July weekend. That's wild, but
it
wasn't no shit like that. It wasn't no Pledge of Allegiance and all that shit in the main event. It wasn't a Star Spangled Banner match. Right. It wasn't a Star Spangled Bikini match and no shit like that. It was four black men going head to head in a tag team match, the New Day versus the Hurt Business, MVP with a limp, Bobby Lashley, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston. Just hearing that, like, because again, this is the first time I've seen this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you feel seeing or just hearing of a match that put two black men versus two black men, four black men in the main event of Raw?
Man, it's one of those things where, again, I'm just always reminded of how long I've watched wrestling and never seen that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm 40 years old. All intents, all purposes considered, I've probably started having my first wrestling memories around like 6 or 7 years old. And so you mean to tell me that in 33 years of being an avid watcher of wrestling, I've never seen four black men main event in All-American Wrestling or in Monday Night Raw. Like, that is insane. And you know, and to your point, they'll never show you the episode, Bang, because how many times did the Nation of Domination ever close the show? You know what I'm saying? Like, when did they even just close as a faction?
And ain't no niggas in DX.
Right. You know, Ahmed Johnson, definitely middle of the show, and they never teamed him up with anybody black ever.
Well, it was that time where he called himself. Because it's forgetful. That's why I had to bring it up. Only bring it up because it's forgetful. Like that one day he joined the Nation of Domination. Then, like the next week, they was like, "Nah."
Yeah. So like, they just gave him a free outfit to keep it moving.
Yeah, basically.
You know, so it's wild, but it's you know, I mean, I'm guessing. No, that's just a show stealing moment. I was gonna say New Day Street Profits, but no, that wasn't the main event. So yeah, like, you know, it's just a one. I must say that at least we have a time in watching wrestling where the company feels that they got four black men that can close the show. They even feel they got that, and then second, to let it happen, like, it's just a reminder of how dope it is to be a black wrestling fan right now. Like, what a time. And then, but also, it's like, wow, still creating first. Still so much more to do in this game. And that's why I'm definitely excited for where we are, just as fans and doing this podcast.
Yeah, you know, and we talked about it last episode, how Xavier Woods come through, and he has a dope Hell in a Cell match with Bobby Lashley. You know, from what I've seen in all accounts, he really showed his ass last night too. I can't remember who said it. I saw an article that, and I'm gonna look for it right now. Mm-hmm. I think it was Eric Escobar. Yes. Eric X Escobar, who's in FCW. He was in the WWE for like a hot minute. I think like what's the name? Eddie Guerrero's Vicky.
Oh, Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah, he like Vicky Guerrero. I think Vicky Guerrero was his manager, but he was there for a hot second. A lot of people thought he was going to be a hot prospect. It didn't work out. He talked about when he saw Kofi Kingston, he knew he was a star. But when he saw Xavier Woods, he was like, ah. And then he talked about how, you know, Big E and Kofi Kingston should be multiple time world champions right now. And Xavier Woods have not reached the level of those two. And I know you even talked about that a bit. The one thing that I can say about this Bobby Lashley feud is that it's proved two things to me. Item number one is everybody's not meant to be world champ.
Right.
Some people have to play that position in order for things to work.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a lead actress. You have to have a lead actor, or you have to have two leads, you know, because I want to make sure I'm not offending anybody. But you got to have your leads, man, and you got to have your bit players. You got to have your extras. Mm-hmm. And even, like, you have your leads, and then you have your ensemble, your supporting cast.
Yes.
And I think that Xavier Woods have done a great job of being a supporting member. But these last 2 weeks, where these last two times we saw him on Raw, because last week he wasn't on that because he was nursing his Hell in a Cell injuries along with Bobby Lashley.
Right.
You know, but if there's anybody who has stepped up these last couple of weeks, it is Xavier Woods.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to salute that.
Yes.
I also want to salute MVP. I think MVP has been a driving force for all of these things. But I want to ask you a question. And I think now, after seeing that on Monday, I think it's a legit question. And I've tried to avoid this question. But now I'm going to ask it, mainly because it really popped up in my mind. Like, I ain't never seen this shit ever before. Like, do you believe that, at least on the Raw side, that the reason why we see Bobby Lashley and Kofi Kingston in the position that they are, especially right now, is because of all of this Black Lives Matter, push Black folks, people of color? Like, do you see that as, even if it's a mustard seed, even if that's small, that there's some reasoning to why we're seeing these things? Because even past Bobby Lashley, you got Bianca Belair, who's a champion. And not only she's a champion, because I know we're going to talk about Money in the Bank a little later, but she's not only a champion, but look at her last couple of matches, Jack.
Yeah.
WrestleMania main event, Hell in a Cell, I Quit match. And in the I Quit match, she chose the match. In the Hell in a Cell match, she challenged for Hell in a Cell. It was her idea, the way it comes off. So look at that. And I'm like, yo, we're strong as fuck. And this ain't never happened. And I've been avoiding thinking that this could be the case. So I ask you, I put the onus on you to answer the question.
You know, I think...
this is diversity hire, fam.
Yeah, I mean... I mean, to be real, yeah, you know what? Even if it's not 50% of the reason, I'll say it's at least 25.
Okay.
And I say that for this reason. Because, you know, the WWE Corporation pays more attention to Twitter than I think anybody wants to truly admit. Yeah. Right? And what's the most popular gang on Twitter? Black Twitter.
Yeah.
And somehow, some way in the last like 2 or 3 years, I want to say, like maybe like summer, fall of 2018, we got Black Twitter and wrestling Twitter become wrestling Black Twitter or Black wrestling Twitter. Something happened. And, you know, with the, I think it's the snowball effect of people thinking Hulk Hogan is a racist and not wanting to hear that shit. I don't know who started the conversation of there being zero Black champions or The Rock being the only Black champ or whatever. I don't know who started that. Of course, Black women run the universe right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And rightfully so. So what I think the WWE does masterfully, even if we consider it pandering or if we consider it misguided, is that they do kind of push forward whatever the pulse of the United States is going through right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, shit, the Attitude Era made perfect sense. Look how rap was then. You had Wu-Tang, you had Snoop Dogg, but you had Limp Bizkit and fucking Blink-182 and Skaters and just, you know, rebellious behavior, vulgar type of just a content. And that was a reflection, like music, movies, and wrestling all reflected that. Right. Now, present day, what do we have in the world? We have Black women finally getting their flowers and being bosses and being in a position where they show power, they're powerful, being unapologetically them. You know what I'm saying? We see Black men being presented as persevering through all adversity and not being just another victim of circumstance or just succumbing to whatever racist or prejudiced things are happening right now. And white men are being vilified left and right for what they've done and how they've behaved in the past. And shit, Lars Sullivan, Hulk Hogan, fucking Shawn Michaels. And then you got Kofi Kingston, Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, Bianca Belair. Like, everything that they're doing is a reflection of what's happening in the U.S. right now. So, with that being said, the only thing else to do was to win over the audiences, you know, and I don't care what anybody says, but I don't think white wrestling fans were all about liking black wrestlers until the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that, there's a difference between liking The Rock, but buying a New Day shirt. Like it is, guys. Like no matter how you slice it, like, because everybody likes The Rock, right? What was there not to like about The Rock? But when you go as far as to, you know, when Tanner wants a New Day shirt, then the game gets real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I don't think Tanner's dad was clamoring for a Coco Beware shirt.
Thank you. Exactly where I was going. Like, yo, Coco Beware didn't hit for Tanner's dad like the New Day hits for Tanner. And right. I think that's the and that's what we're seeing. And I like the fact that, you know, I mean, also though, with that though, because the reason why I only want to give it some credit is because now we're finally getting a diversified look at what a black wrestler is.
Yes.
You know? And there's not two over the top extremes. So you're either super angry or you're super happy dancing and doing your thing. Because we already know Boogie hates fucking dancing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, you know, so I think it's a combination of all those things. But yeah, you know, the WWE knows what's going on. And rather taking the AEW route of having press releases about what they're going to do to show their diversity, they just start mirroring whatever's happening in the United States, and we get what we have right now.
All right, so we understand the importance of what we saw on Raw when we see two tag teams, Black Men main event. But still on that same Raw, Jason Ryker and Cedric Alexander. So,
yeah. I mean, you know what, man? The race is going to get one.
Yeah, they're gonna get one.
I mean, hey, at the end of the day, they still out here. He does represent a percentage.
Yeah. And a lot of them gonna be in the stands when the fans come back. Yeah. And again, we're gonna talk about Money in the Bank later, but you know, that feud is all leading up to Kofi Kingston challenging Bobby Lashley for the WWE World Championship. Yeah. At Money in the Bank. And for those who might not remember, my guarantee hope, not putting a guarantee, but my guarantee hope is Big E wins the Money in the Bank, and then Kofi Kingston wins the belt, and he celebrates with his homie, and then he attacks his homie, and he then wins the WWE World Championship.
Yeah.
I know that the New Day has expressed it. I know that other people expressed it. They didn't necessarily want to see a black man do that to another black man. Mm-hmm. But ladies and gentlemen, it's wrestling.
Yeah.
It happens.
You know what, though? I want to speak to your guaranteed hope, though.
Okay.
Because after this WWE's Greatest Tag Team thing has now been released, what better time than this to do it? They've already been stapled as the greatest tag team in WWE history.
Talk your shit.
So literally now, the New Day can have this. Hey, we wouldn't even on the same roster. I need the belt.
My wife and I love living in our quiet
community. Because it won't be a breakup.
The hell was that? Oh, that was one of the tabs.
Oh.
That shit scared the shit out of me, man.
I can look on your face.
What the fuck? But oh, yeah, that was it. If you look at the video, you guys go see my face go. What the fuck going on here?
Oh, man.
But go.
Yeah, no. So, like, you know, like, even if Big E does decide to cash in on Kofi, the New Day still exists.
Yeah.
Like, it still exists. They're in the greatest space that you could be to be the greatest, the number one tag team WWE history.
And they were named, like, for those who don't know, that they were named the best tag team, the greatest tag team in WWE history.
Mm-hmm.
So just off of that alone, like, number two is the Hardy Boys. they broke up.
Yeah.
The Heart Foundation, they didn't attack each other, but they broke up.
Yeah. They just start booking Brett different. Like,
right. They just like, hey man, you know we'll go solo.
Yeah.
We'll go solo. We tried to do it in 87. Didn't work out. So we're gonna try to do this again. Jim, right. just do some shit. Right. we gonna put you over there. We're gonna put you over there with Owen.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you know what? Hey man, you're gonna wrestle Mr. Perfect tonight. Right, not in a tag match. You just wrestling Mr. Perfect tonight.
Right. Okay. Oh, you're gonna lose too. Just know you're gonna lose too. Going to Money in the Bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's been people who've been at it. So let's just go over the Money in the Bank match for for the men, for the chance to win a contract to go up against any champion in the WWE. And I want to preface something real quick, because even though I know shit ain't going to happen, the WWE loves to throw little needles at people to see what sticks to them. And they got me, because Drew McIntyre was talking, I forgot to who, and he made it a case to say he could challenge any champion on any brand. Mm. I'm like, you're not going to challenge Karrion Kross, fam. Now, you probably should, because these promos and him talking about history is getting on my fucking nerves right now. Winston Churchill, or, you know, I am a direct descendant. Shut the fuck up and do some shit. But Ricochet, John Morrison, Riddle, Drew McIntyre, Big E, Kevin Owens, Cesaro, or Seth Rollins. I think there's going to be Cesaro. And then King Nakamura or Baron Corbin, because he's no longer King Corbin.
Right.
So that is your Money in the Bank. I've already said that I want it to be Big E, but my guarantee was Riddle winning the Money in the Bank.
Mm.
Do you see that changing?
Man.
From your end, do you think it's changing from your picks?
You know what? No, I'm still gonna go Big E. I'm still gonna go Big E, because the one thing that Big E is missing that everybody else has, even the potential guys that could be in or out of this, is that he needs the boost. Like, he needs him to put him over.
Right.
Riddle doesn't really need it, even though him winning makes perfect sense. Listen, Cesaro had a shot, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm sorry it didn't work out. You know what I'm saying? Seth Rollins is the only wild card for me, because he is the type of guy, or he would be the guy to get the stat of, I cashed in two times. Like, I'm a two-time cash-in winner of, you know what I'm saying? Because if The Miz can do it, then Seth Rollins can do it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Corbin and Nakamura don't even fucking matter. So yeah, I mean, really, it's Big E, Riddle, Seth Rollins, my opinion. Those are the three. I'm still gonna pick Big E, because without it, Big E need to just show up on Raw and start tossing out bootios again. That at this point, if he don't win Money in the Bank, it might be curtains or whatever the fuck they got him doing.
Well, you know what's crazy, Kemp? I have a couple of thoughts. Mm. Money in the Bank, right?
Okay.
So let me go first to Ricochet versus John Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
These motherfuckers that had some great ass interaction and matches.
Yeah.
Since they did this shit. That spot where he did the crossbody while John Morrison was on, you know, the banister.
Yeah.
That shit was cold in the motherfucker. Them two go together like milk and cereal.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they have a match of the night sometime soon. Now, I already said Riddle is my pick to win it. Mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre is not going to win it. Big E is my guaranteed hope. Kevin Owens, no. Seth Rollins is interesting because of Edge.
Mm.
And it's really dependent on what they would do. Now, I don't think that the WWE would take the belt off of Roman Reigns. I don't. But I could see Seth Rollins winning, Edge winning, and then him cashing out on Edge, leading to a match at SummerSlam that's one-on-one or a triple threat match with Roman Reigns being there. I can see that.
Okay.
King Nakamura, no. I'm going to bring in a dark horse here. And I've not said one name here. And I know you might look at me crazy when I say this, but hear me out. Baron Corbin is no longer the king of the WWE. He lost that shit on network television. I believe the only person to lose the crown in a match on television is Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Because Hacksaw Jim Duggan did lose in the Macho Man, if I can remember correctly. I saw that on the episode of Superstars.
Am I right? Yeah, no, I believe you're right. The only other one I would say, because the Junkyard Dog never really beat Harley Race, right? He just took his shit.
He just took his shit. The WrestleMania 3 thing.
Yeah, I want to say it was
I think it was WrestleMania 3. But Baron Corbin has lost the king. He lost the crown. Apparently, he's lost his car. And he's lost his home. He's losing everything. I think they're about to turn Baron Corbin face. But in order to solidify that, he got to win. And I mean, I'm not picking him.
Okay.
But it just feels like the way they're setting up Baron Corbin. They're setting him up to be the person that you least expect win it. Like how Otis won it. We were like, the fuck?
Right.
Like on this one, I don't think you would ever what the fuck, because then he would be, what, a two-time Money in the Bank winner, Baron Corbin?
Yeah, yeah, he would. Because he's also one of the few people that lost.
To John Cena.
Yeah.
At that. So I just got a feeling that while we are looking at Big E and some others, Baron Corbin might be that dude that slaps us in the goddamn face and be like, hey, I won some shit. And then we be sitting there with our mouth open like, yo, what the fuck happened? And you know what? Because I know we shitting on our man when he won Money in the Bank. The whole thing with Mandy Rose and all of that. But Otis out here looking like Vader, Jack.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen. I don't know what the fuck the WWE did, but shit, my predictions all came true for Otis until they brought the Miz in. I was like, yo, I'm not saying this makes sense at all, but he's on fucking fire right now.
Man.
He's getting a push. Like, he has the most compelling story of the year.
It's a slow push, too. That's what's making this good about Otis. It's a slow push. Because it started off with him being unsure about the alpha shit. Then he realized he lost everything. Then he cut his shit.
Yeah, now he looks like fat nails.
Right. Dead ass fat nails, too. You are 100% on the money after hearing that shit. Because I decided, like, this motherfucker looked like somebody. Fat nails is who Otis is. With that being said, like, the way Chris Paul wrote that motherfucking ankle. The way he whooped the shit out of Angelo Dawkins.
Yeah, man.
Two times in a row.
Yeah.
With a straight face.
Yeah.
Think we got Vader 2.0 on our hands, and WWE gonna fuck it up. That's me doing what the internet does. But I reason why I say they gonna fuck it up, because I don't even know what the fuck you do here. I really don't know. Like, do you have him like does Apollo Crews lose it to a face, and then like Otis beats that face, and like now, like basically, my man is managing him. Like, I don't know what you do here.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's like, even if you put him on Raw, like, what do you do with this Otis?
You know, actually on Raw, it makes more sense because it breaks up the monotony of what we've been seeing, which is the same five guys wrestling you know what I'm saying, with MVP talking. You know what I'm saying? Like, just it's kind of one of those things where somebody does need to come to Raw and dominate also, right? Because shit, Bobby Lashley's running other people to dominate.
Yeah. Yeah. So looking at that, it's not going to change. We got, but I just want to throw that out there. Now, with the ladies, Zelina Vega is back. Yeah. It was Zelina Vega being back. That's basically a big-ass fuck you to the internet wrestling community. She's going to go to AEW. Nettie Andrade is there. She's going to go to AEW. She's going to be Andrade's manager. Aleister Black said that there's a rumor that he's going to go to AEW so Zelina can go with her husband there. Like, now she's back with the WWE, fam. And she is in the Money in the Bank match with Carmella. Nikki Cross is no longer Nikki Cross.
Right.
It is Nikki A-S-H.
Yeah, the Ash. Nikki, yeah. Ash.
Nikki almost superhero.
Yeah.
That's her shit. She running with it. And her ass looks nice in them joints. Alexa Bliss, Naomi, and Asuka. It's going to be two more that's going to be involved in this match. But so far, do you see the winner of the Money in the Bank in this match? And if so, who?
No, because I'm going on record now. My pick is Liv Morgan. My pick is Liv. And I think, matter of fact, I think in very unique fashion, I'm actually going to guarantee this. This is my guarantee. My guarantee that the whole Money in the Bank match for the women specifically is the Liv Morgan storyline. It's literally the, hey, you know what? I'm the most improved woman here. I'm the one that's here every day killing shit. I'm about to beat everybody that you just handpicked to put in the match, and then I'm going to win the match. And that's her story. That's her momentum. That's her steam. Because, you know, hell, she was living and dying by the success or failure of the Riot Squad.
Yep.
Liv Morgan's never had her own storyline. They did put her in the tub and do all that shit, but then she came out like normal. Like, I mean, she came out as just like, we're supposed to see who she really is or whatever that thing was. I think this is where it starts. The evolution of her character and all puns intended on that is definitely leading up to the Money in the Bank match. And now, you know, that's her storyline, that's her road to the belt. And once she gets it, then we see whatever Liv Morgan is supposed to be from there on out.
I'm going to be that fan here. And I'm going to say yes, and the people that we named, the winner is not there because the winner is going to be Becky Lynch.
Ah.
You know, they said that she's training and all of that shit. She's back in the ring and all of that.
Yeah.
And that's just a tell. That's just a sign to me that she's going to be back sooner rather than later. And I can definitely see her winning the Money in the Bank and just saying that she's going to challenge, you know, a Rhea Ripley or Bianca Belair for the championship. And I see Bianca Belair more than I see Rhea Ripley, mainly because SmackDown is now the big show.
And low key, Bianca Belair's been taking out the Four Horsewomen. ain't but two left.
Yep. So,
but two left, and she's been in the ring with three of them already.
Yes, so. The only one she ain't get yet is Charlotte, which going to Charlotte and Rhea Ripley, that feud right there. I'm not gonna lie to you, Kemp. If there's anything I've been disappointed in, it's in that feud. I'm gonna go on record of saying something right now, and I'm gonna put the camera on me real quick.
Let's go.
Only reason why I'm putting the camera on me real quick, because I think y'all need to see what I'm about to say right here. I don't think Charlotte Flair wants to be there. I don't think Charlotte Flair wants to be in the WWE right now. I think she wants to be with a man.
Oh, yeah.
And a man is an AEW. Now, this is nothing against Charlotte Flair. This is not saying that Charlotte Flair has to be around a man and all of that. But I just don't feel it from Charlotte Flair right now, Kim. I don't. Maybe it's just the storyline and how they're doing things. But I said a couple of weeks ago, Charlotte Flair's money. No matter what you do, Charlotte Flair's money. Charlotte Flair comes on your show and she builds up your show. She did that shit with NXT. Mm-hmm. And she did that shit wherever she's been for the last couple of years. This feud is dry. I don't know if it's Rhea Ripley. I don't, but I truly believe it's really more coming from Charlotte. But I just feel like Charlotte don't want to be there. I don't feel the aura. Like, you know, Charlotte Flair used to have an aura that goes through the TV.
Okay, I got you.
You want to see a Charlotte Flair match. You want to see a Charlotte Flair in action. And this shit that's going on with Rhea Ripley, it ain't it. It's not it, Jack. And I just look and I'm like, what's missing? And it's Andrade. And I just don't think Charlotte Flair wants to be in the WWE right now. I think she wants to be over there with her husband.
Okay.
Or her fiance.
Right.
Whichever they are. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. And you know what? And I don't think you're necessarily wrong in that, because, I mean, if anything about the dealings with Andrade and her displeasure about it, along with, you know, Ric Flair, are, even if it's half true, then I'm inclined to agree with exactly what you're saying. Like, I'm not even saying that 100% of everything that we've heard from behind the scenes, good, bad, or indifferent, had to have happened. I'm saying if half of it is, you make a great point.
Yeah.
The other part of it is, though, you literally got two women trying to get over the same way. And I think what it is that Rhea Ripley's not as over as everybody thought she was.
Man.
I really think that's what it is. Because when I watch this rivalry, I'm just kind of watching it to be like, you know, whenever you just see like two random people fighting, like in the street or like at the club, you're like, well, I don't really give a fuck who wins because I don't even know these girls. But damn, that big old girl is fighting. Like, literally, what I've said the last 2 weeks was, man, these two big-ass white girls be going at it. Like, I don't even care. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even care like that. It's just that, yo, man, hey, man, these two big-ass white girls is really going at it, man. It's crazy. Like, it doesn't, like, I'm not compelled to cheer or boo either one of them. Like, it really doesn't even matter to me. And I think that, along with a lot of what you're saying, Bang, is a big part of all of this. So hopefully they make it make sense. Or, you know, obviously that's definitely the Money in the Bank cash in title. Like, somebody might as well come in and take it off of both of them.
Yeah,
I move forward, you know.
I don't feel it from this rivalry, man. I don't, like, it's, this ain't WrestleMania
at all.
Like, this, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it just feels to me she don't want to be that, man. And before anybody say anything, Ric Flair was a NWA person. Then he went to the WWE, went back to WCW, came back to WWE. Mm-hmm. That Charlotte Flair could leave, and I don't think Vince McMahon to close the door on her. But what I will say is I just don't feel it from her. Mm-hmm. When it comes to this joint right here, let's go to Bianca Belair and Bayley real quick. Mm-hmm. Bianca Belair challenged Bayley again for the belt. That's Bianca Belair's belt, but she chose the stipulation again. And in this one, she chose an I Quit match. Now, Bayley said a couple of things that made me think, is this a Loser Leaves Town match? Is this a Loser Leaves SmackDown match? Like, how was it look? But the fact that the champion was like, yo, look, we're going to fight in the I Quit match. Like, that felt weird to me, especially when her promos ain't been the best. This one felt like it was a best promo in a while, but it just seems like they're pushing the keep your head to the sky narrative. I don't want to see that. Like, your thoughts on that?
No. Whenever the champion is picking their match, they might as well come out second. You know, I mean, or come out first. I'm sorry, they might as well come out first too. But I don't want to upset anybody, and I am by no means saying that the Bianca Belair experiment is over, because it's not.
Right.
It's actually just beginning. But I think it is. I think it's important for her to face some real adversity and to get some more character layer and another story to tell. You've already been the underdog. You've already been, you know what I'm saying, the person that's been doubted. You know, that they've pulled every card. No, they've even pulled the, hey, she looks like me card. Everything that they could have got out about Bianca Belair and why she's the champion right now, okay, they've done it. And now we're already going into the third quarter. Bayley can get the belt back. Bayley can get back to doing what she's doing. Because you know what? As much as we all love Bianca Belair, I think, especially with Sasha Banks just out right now, Bayley is the best woman wrestler in the WWE. Yeah. From, you know what I'm saying? I believe that. And I mean that as on mic, off mic matches, whatever scenario they put Bayley in, she's a win every single time. And it's time to get back to winning. Right now, Bianca Belair has established herself as somebody that looks better chasing the title than actually having it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, you know, if we turn back the clock to, what, 2016, 2017, Bianca Belair, that's who we want to see have the title. You know, she's not as braggadocious and like the EST character is almost like it's taking the back seat.
Yeah.
And unless they're going to leave for her with that, then she don't need the belt. Like, I want to hear EST shit. I don't want to hear, hey, I'm just happy to be here. I feel I'm pretty good. I'm finally achieving my dreams. And I get the feel-good story of
it. Yeah, I don't want to hear I used to be fat, but now I'm all that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and where's Rude Jude? Like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, so you know, so with that said, let Bayley handle this L so that she can really get on her shit and try to get her belt back, you know.
I'm with that. So now let's go to the final match, Roman Reigns versus Edge. Edge finally gets his one-on-one match. I think because killing two birds with one stone, it's like what happened with Jimmy Uso happened last week, because Edge beat the shit out of Jimmy Uso and put the pole in his mouth, pause.
Yeah.
You know, to put him in a submission move. Mm-hmm. Essentially, they could take Jimmy Uso off of TV for a little bit. Yeah. Just a secret right there. But for those who don't know, today it was announced that Jimmy Uso was arrested for another DUI.
Yeah, man.
I think it's his fourth in the last couple of years. For some people, somebody who knows people who have dealt with alcoholism, this is not a joke.
Right.
Around that, because that alcohol gets you, that alcohol gets you. But to your point, right? Mm-hmm. About this whole thing about some of the wrestlers that we've talked about today, right? Like, I don't want to see Edge like that, too. I want to see old man Logan, though.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see the wounded animal. But we're not going to get that. We're going to get in a very aggressive Edge. And that scares me, too, because of his history of neck problems.
Yeah.
With that being said, however, that night we all expect Roman Reigns to go over. But at this point in time, what do you think is best for Roman Reigns to do now? Like, because it seems like he's literally done everything.
Well, listen, the last promo that Heyman cut has me believing that I didn't even know Edge was coming. And I was like, oh, so whoever coming about to beat Roman Reigns, this is a big fucking deal. Yeah, that's where I sit. I don't know what's going on with Jey Uso. And because we're not getting the everybody understand we all in the family moment for the summer. Yeah. And now we know pretty much that Jimmy Uso was most likely not going to be in the next two SmackDowns. And within the next two SmackDowns, Money in the Bank is going to happen. Like, literally, Roman Reigns is losing the Edge.
Ooh.
Like, he's going to lose the Edge. And it's the setup is real for it. The fact that they're still playing the Royal, he won his Royal Rumble match card, but he never got his solo championship match opportunity.
Yep.
Oh, so now we just gonna blame Daniel Bryan for the reason why he lost at WrestleMania 2? Oh.
Even though they both got pinned.
Yeah.
On top of each other.
Even though they both got pinned, like, that now the narrative of Daniel Bryan shouldn't have been in the first fucking place is what they running with. So now he get his match at Money in the Bank. Yeah, everything in me says that Edge is going to beat Roman Reigns. Now, will there be a stipulation to the match? Absolutely. I have no clue what it is. I only expect it to be a Uso in sight.
Okay.
I just know that somehow, some way, Edge is going to beat Roman Reigns because they've now built Edge as Roman's only real problem.
Okay. So, let's go into Jimmy Uso.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, Jimmy Uso was arrested on a DUI. His alcohol level was at, I think they said, a 2.85, but if you're at a 2, you drunk.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you had a 2, you slapped, unless you're a massive man.
Word.
But this is off the heels of Jimmy Uso coming off of a ACL injury at last month's WrestleMania. This is also when Jey Uso becomes main event Jey. Mm-hmm. And then Jey goes off of TV. They bring in Jimmy back. And Jimmy's playing the nobody's bitch role. Mm-hmm. He's not really playing the family role. He's playing the, hey man, we're going to have this at the barbecue. You know, you can show up if you want to. But there's like a host of other like people that you like and you don't care about that person. Right. Like that's what it seemed like that storyline was kind of going.
Yeah.
Because Roman Reigns was kind of looking at Jimmy like, I don't know about you, fam, but your brother gone, so you could come.
Right. Yeah.
And then he get his ass whooped. It was an ass beating that would take you off of TV. And then this happens.
Yeah. And the first time that Roman Reigns hasn't been on SmackDown for the whole show, like for real.
Yeah, yes, yeah. This was like Jimmy's turn, so to speak. Get his ass whooped or not, this is Jimmy's turn to be main event Jimmy.
Yeah.
And while he got his ass whooped, he did his thing.
Yeah.
So I look at what we see now, taking away from all the storylines and everything, like, what is your thought process when you see a Jimmy Uso having these types of troubles again? And, I mean, unfortunately, we do got to ask that question. Like, what happens with Jimmy Uso?
Man, to keep it so real, because part of this I identify with it, the problem ain't wrestling. The problem ain't storyline. What needs to be handled is his marriage. All right, there, I said it. Naomi and Jimmy Uso need to figure it out or understand that they can't figure it out.
Mm.
Again, I was watching the Total Divas joint, you know what I'm saying? While my marriage was going on, you dig? And looking at some of their parallels into just their disagreements, what they're disagreeing over, how they're disagreeing over it. I I have no doubt in my mind that his excessive drinking is because of that. Mm. And I'm not, and I want to be so crystal clear, ladies and gentlemen, when I say that I'm not necessarily blaming Naomi for anything. I'm just completely saying that his home life, his marriage is the reason why he's doing this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's
that's well, whatever,
you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not saying that, there's anything that needs to be like, you know, investigated, like in the hurt realm or anything like that. I'm just saying that, a lot of men that, go through issues with their significant other or their wives, or even husbands. I don't know. You know, shout out to our gay listeners as well, right? But I know that if you know that you don't want to cuss your wife out, or you don't want to fight your wife, or you don't even feel like cheating, yeah, right? You might start resorting to alcohol or maybe like weed or
anything to self-medicate.
Yes, self-medication becomes your process, and that's what I see. So I pray that they figure it out, or realize that they can't figure it out and they're just better apart. Because you know, his kids ain't hers.
Yeah.
You know they, oddly enough, and you know where this is going for me, on one of the seasons of Total Divas, she wanted to move to Atlanta. He wanted to stay in Florida. So, like, yo, you know what I mean? So, like, I mean.
Whoa.
Yeah, so.
That hit home.
Word. You know what I'm saying? And that, and 2 years later.
Yeah.
So
I didn't even think about it in the way that you thought about that, the way that you said that. I'm not going to discount anything that you're saying right there at all. Mm-hmm. Because I was going to say something similar. Not that, yeah, but something similar. Like, I look at the family. I do look at the family life. And I look at it in a way of what are we doing to support Jimmy? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to know if he rushed himself back from this situation. I really want to know what the family does or wants to do to help, and what he's probably not being receptive to, or are they doing that? See, I see alcoholism every day. I remember I was going through that path. Like when I moved back from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Bottle time, like, and part of that was really coping with the fact that, did I make the best decision for me, and what I am gonna deal with. But then other part of that is like friends and family. Mm-hmm. Now that's when I was 25 years old, ladies and gentlemen. Now I am 39 years old with 3 kids. Mm-hmm. I ain't taking them chances. Right. Like, I have calm down on a lot of stuff because I'm not with taking those chances no more. Mm-hmm. 4th of July was as drunk as I've been in a while. But I was at the neighbor's house who unexpectedly was like, yo, y'all could come through because my son goes over there and I see these people treating him like the Mexican son, the Mexican black son that they ain't got. Like, Trey Boom sitting there looking like, the fuck is going on here? But, you know, the father was like, yo, get something to drink. One shot led to another. I'm drinking shots out the bottle. I got the bottle. It's the most I had to drink since I've been here. Mm-hmm. But I also know that this has been a stressful time in my life. My mom has had an issue since I've been back. My father-in-law's had an issue since I've been back. This housing thing has been rewarding but stressful. Mm-hmm. Work has been stressful. It's been a lot. Seeing what friends and family go through. I think anybody that knows me know that, like, if I call you a friend, you're like family. So when I see certain things and you can't, you know, be like you want to be, like, there's a lot of things that eat at you that, to keep it a buck, you don't know what people go through. I interviewed Royce da 5'9", and it was when the Book of Ryan was released, and he had a friend, he had a song on there called Strong Friend.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing that song, and I was like, yo, this song deep as hell. And when I interviewed him, I talked about that specific song. He's like, pay attention to yourself. He also talked about, you know, the lyric in the joint, if I'm a strong friend, who the fuck are you? Mm. And I really want to know if Jay is the strong friend. And what are the people around him doing? Mm-hmm. It's not a blame or anything like that, but it's obvious he has an issue. And it's obvious that he needs some type of help. It's obvious and it's well known and documented how the WWE puts people in rehab.
Right.
I don't know if this is a rehab situation. I don't. But anytime these things happen, especially when it comes to liquor, I often think, what happened?
Right.
Maybe it is the marriage. Maybe it's something else. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're suppressing things, or maybe you're not suppressing things. Yeah. But I often think about that. Especially if you're, how erratic your behavior comes when authorities come to you.
Right.
And it seems like he's been extra aggressive anytime a police officer is about to take him to jail.
Yeah, man.
Almost like an MO. I don't know what's going on with him, but I do know that I would hope that that year he spent apart could have been filled with something else to basically get him out of the crazy house, basically, mm-hmm. or get away from his issues. So, I mean, it's just really a long-winded way of saying that I don't know what's going on with Buddy. My only hope is that he has the family ties to help him get out of it.
Right.
Because for this to happen so quickly after showing up on TV and being the main event, I am willing to say that my kids was a little nervous. Me, my kids, I'm sitting there looking at it. I'm sitting here looking at my son as I say this, but I just think that there's a lot that's probably going on with Buddy, and this is just a way of him coping. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is... I never looked at alcoholism, especially with seeing what I've seen. It's just, I want to party. I don't want to go out and kick it, not just drink too much.
Right.
It's something to it. And I think that the WWE has done a great job of putting people in rehab, and that's what I expect. Mm-hmm. To happen here. Now, he has to be a willing participant in that, right, and really take the advice and all of that stuff. But it's just sad to see a talent like that almost even prove the storyline right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, like, even transitioning this to a storyline conversation, like, he proved it right. And no, like, in the shouts out to the Brick Cave, like, they was just throwing out ideas like, man, they should bring Samoa Joe up. Like, people didn't even really think of Samoa Joe as a real Samoan.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they should do this and they should do that. Like, when I look at this situation right here, it's just like, what is it, fam? Like, what is going on? And do you have the right people talking to you? Like, what is Naomi? How is that conversation going? Like, is it those issues that you may say? Yeah. You know, what about your uncles? What about your brother? But probably even more important, where I was going before I looked at Trey, is the pressure of you coming back and being at the top of the card and having this interaction with your cousin and doing all of these things. And now you're being in a position to be a main eventer, mm-hmm. or could be, like his brother ended up doing. And did that pressure get to him? Did that pressure hurt him eventually? Stress and anxiety would come to that shit, this shit. Like, people, we talk about alcoholism and all that shit too, but, you know, how has anxiety played in this? Like, how does that work? Because it's got to be something. It can't just be, I like the party, I like the kick it. It's got to be something.
I'm on record as saying that it's not that at all.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, you're on record saying, no, it was not that.
Yeah,
it's something though, yeah. And he's not going to be able to be fixed until that's fixed.
Word, and that's why. And you know what? I think you raised great points, and I honestly would pray that it would just be pressure of the bright lights, right? But even just as I reflect on my own life and a lot of the parallels, like the only difference between, I think, Jimmy Uso and myself, to just dig a little personal, is that I've never gotten a DUI ever.
Right.
But till this day, vodka still tastes like depression to me. I no longer drink it at all, like, period. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I stick with tequila.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I say that also with saying that Jimmy Uso also has, you know, children from a previous relationship that did not work out for whatever reason or the other.
Yeah.
You know, I'm again, just being a consumer of other wrestling content, aka Total Diva Seasons, I watched him and the riff that him and Naomi had about moving, the riff that they had about him doing stand-up comedy, and what was this content of jokes going to be about. I just look at those things, and I was like, and that's what they put on camera. Like, that's what they put on camera. So what are they not putting on camera? And as I see that, and I just look at the parallels of just the of, again, just how we both got this. And I see, like, him being like, yo, I'm just about to go out, just have me a few drinks, I just need to chill by myself.
Yeah.
And then of course, you know, that chill by myself turns into I'm incapacitated by myself, but I need to get the fuck home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And the bar ain't gonna look out for you and be like, yo, we'll call you an Uber or Lyft.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I just think it's a sad story all the way around. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the WWE is mulling over a decision what to do with Jimmy Uso. So I definitely hope it's a 90-day rehab.
Word.
Like, fuck 60. I mean, fuck 60, fuck 30.
Right.
A 90-day, a 3-month stay might be best for Buddy. Because if it's pressure, man, pressure busts pipes.
Word. Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
And maybe the pressures of this on a big time network makes you go, need to go ahead and get a drink. But he's too talented of a wrestler.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny because, you know, Trey is starting to really be on his shit.
Mm-hmm.
And even he know what he had a DUI.
Mm.
Like, it's very disappointing, but it's something that could be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible decision on his part. It could be fixed. Mea culpa, she's already done it. It's just that when you watch wrestling, you tend to forget about these guys in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you tend to forget that these people had an online, like, whether it's, like, with people, let me rephrase what I was about to say. When people see you on TV, when people see you on wrestling, they think of the character, they don't think of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that the WWE has been disappointed with what has happened here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very quick for people, wrestling fans, to get on TV and be like, or get on these platforms like these podcasts and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And basically just shit on this person because the storyline is went left in here. This and
right.
That.
Right.
But then when you think about it, you even put that on there too with these things that go on in probably somebody's head. Maybe it is my brother was shining, or maybe it's what you was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Either way it go, like, help needs to be made, given extended. It needs to happen. And it needs to happen sooner rather than later. Because the other, because the biggest part of this, outside of Jay and his drinking habits, is way too many DUIs, man.
Yeah.
Like, drinking and driving leads you basically to a place you don't want to be.
Right.
And at the end of the day, if you're going to do these things, do them. You're grown. I can't tell a grown man what to do.
Right.
But what I could do is be like, yo, you just got to make better choices what you're doing after you have these drinks. Mm-hmm. At the very least, have a better... I don't like drinking at home.
Mm.
Like, remember y'all, like Cash used to get liquor in that thing, and I probably, like, get a beer there, but it had to be somebody mm-hmm. over there.
Right, right.
I can't do that because of shit that I've seen.
Mm.
I can't drink at home because of flashbacks of shit. Like, oh, no,
yeah.
I don't want to do that. That's why I say it's got to be something embedded in him. And the other part about this is, and then we move on, because it ain't really a lot to talk about for this mm-hmm. shit. This mm-hmm. is really like some of the main shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's some of the trauma that family members might have went through, it follows you. It follows you. So I even look at the trauma shit, like, what happened with Buddy that made him do this not too long away from the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, which he's highly involved in?
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. And I think that needs to be the conversation a little bit more. To not necessarily our business what those things are, but to pray that everybody is involved. And that's Jimmy, and that's Naomi, that's Jay, that's Roman. Like, mm-hmm. everybody gets my man the help that he needs, and everybody holds that man down. Because I'll say this, and then we can start to wrap it up, mm-hmm. is... the tribal chief storyline means nothing if you don't look out for family.
Word. Word.
Plain and simple. This storyline don't mean shit if you ain't looking out. And it's time to look out. Vince, Stephanie, Trips, Roman, Naomi, Jay,
yeah.
Afa, Sika, Rikishi, come get your kid. Like, yeah.
Word.
His cousins, his cousin Jacob, like, nah, bruh, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm also looking at this as a man of color, and Jimmy's a man of color, whether you believe Samoans are or not.
Right.
And I want to see that man succeed. These cats was top 10 tag team ever. 7, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know how talented these cats is.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely don't want to see a man lose his job and we not help them.
Word.
But we don't know what the WWE has done behind the scenes either.
Word.
So it's a lot of layers to this. But I just hope that my man can recover from what ails him and get back to having classic matches mm-hmm. with super kicks and Air Force Ones
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and, yeah. And looking like and looking like a Nelly video before, you know, they worked out. So, yeah. Man, get well, Jimmy Uso, man. First black champion supporting you and
yes,
everything. Really get these issues fixed, my G, or work on them as much as you can. And beat it.
Word, please.
Beat it.
Blessings to you.
Yeah, like I said, man, it wasn't a lot of stuff that was going on. That really happened today, like right before we start recording. For SmackDown, we already know what the lid is because we talked about Edge damn near choking Jimmy Uso. So yeah, man, we already said our guarantees. I'll throw out another guarantee. My other guarantee, and I'm gonna make this even truly official.
Mm-hmm.
Baron Corbin's gonna be heel. I mean, he's gonna be face no matter what happens at Money in the Bank. He's going to be face, and the person that's going to feud with him is probably going to come up from NXT.
Okay. Right. Well, I'll take that and retain that information. And
it's not gonna be a Drew Jobs drop situation.
Okay, I dig it. what I'll say is, and I didn't have time to really investigate this because I was on the quick scroll, but if Drew McIntyre is truly trying to lobby to get the Broken Dreams theme music back and to maybe get back into the Chosen One bag with who he is now, I am here for it. Because that's still some of the hardest WWE theme music ever.
It is.
It would give him a lot more to talk about than this bullshit he's talking about now. And maybe it's just bullshit because I'm American. I don't know. But, you know, if Drew is really trying to get Broken Dreams back, and that leads to another character layer or a character rewind better than ever, I'm here for it. I just want to throw that out there right now.
I think we all here for it because that's one of the better theme songs, period. Shouts out to Drew Dewdrop. Shouts out to the people that's going to be in the breakout tournament for NXT. And I have to go and look at the Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly match right after this to see what happened there. But MSK won their tag match at the Great American Bash.
Okay.
Io Shirai is now a tag team champion. Her and the Swole Chick end up winning. They beat the Way. Sure. Yes, they beat the Way. I was shocked at that. I thought that Shorty was going to take the pin. So they're the new tag team champions. I just noticed that LA Knights theme music, they put like Compton, like Dr. Dre, like G-Funk sounds in that bitch, so I don't like that theme song. But he defeated Cameron Grimes, so Cameron Grimes is now his Virgil.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's what was supposed to happen?
In the match today.
I knew I missed too many weeks,
man. You did. Hey. I can't wait for the draft. Draft's supposed to happen reportedly after SummerSlam. So,
oh yeah,
definitely can't wait for the draft. All right, man, it is off.
Yes. Hey, listen, we appreciate you all for the last 4 years for tuning in every single week to the First Black Champ podcast. 7/9/17 was when we started this thing, and as we record on the night of 7/6/21. We definitely just want to show our extreme gratitude for rocking with us through all of our ups and downs, both mechanically, personally, professionally, like everything that we've done, as well as talking about this wrestling shit and how it affects us personally. We appreciate y'all for sticking by and listening every single week and then watching and listening every single week and buying the merch. It did not go unnoticed. It will continue to not go unnoticed. We hope to keep bringing you the best quality content possible. And as we grow, we hope y'all stick around. And always remember, man, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Camp. Yeah. Bang. We are out.